This is Infection, the survival podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, August 11th, 2020, episode 291. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to another episode of Infection, the survival podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. We bring you the latest news, reviews, updates, contrary to belief, a little bit more each and every week. My name is Nick Craig. You can follow me on Twitter at Nicholas M. Craig. You can also follow me on Parler at Nicholas M. Craig as well. And of course, our website, infectionpodcast.com. And before we introduce, before I introduce my illustrious co-host, I've got to give a shout out to Unicorn Joe, Brian, 30 months of a tier one subscription here on Twitch Gaming. Thank you very much, Unicorn Joe. We greatly appreciate it. And with that, I will say hello to you, Mr. Brian. How are you? How are you doing this Tuesday evening? We're back, baby.
No, I know. I'm doing very well. Well, I played some hockey on Sunday, so I'm a little sore. And then I have a hockey game right after this. So it's like, nervous. We'll see how it goes. But
do you feel like you're going to just crumble good? As a man? Like you're going to like just like... You're gonna fall like the in the Wizard of Oz, where like the Tin Man is like slowly falling apart. Is that what you feel is gonna happen to you?
No, like my back is sore. That's the worst part.
What about icy hockey? Hot?
I don't know. I don't like using any of that stuff. I may have to at some point as I get older. Like
watch late night public access or not late night public access. Late night cable channels. They've got ads back to back for products that will fix your problem. That's what
I try not to use. I try not to use any kind of medications or anything. I know I'm stubborn like that, but I may have to eventually, as I get older, you figure out something. I mean, I feel good. The thing is like you've never seen me play hockey, right? So
No, sorry.
It's pretty fast paced. Like there's a reason that I'm sore. It's not because I'm old or like, oh, I have to actually skate a little bit.
Oh, actually, damn it.
Skate pretty fast. So, So, I mean, I'm doing all right for my age, which is sad to say. I'm doing just fine.
Well, that's great. So, now that we've got that depressing thing out of the way, where can people... Yeah. Speaking of depressing things, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, if you want to find me, you can get me at Brian Aldridge on Parler. You can get me at Infection... Well, sorry, biteoftech.com for my blog. Or you can go to our website, infectionpodcast.com. If you look on the right-hand side there, you'll see join our server on Discord. That's the place if you want to hang out through the week, maybe submit some news topics. If there's things that you think we should be covering that we're not, there's a channel for that. And it's pretty much where people just hang out and share links and news stories and just kind of chat throughout the week. So it's a free service. They have a mobile app, web-based app, and a desktop app. Also, our Steam group, if you happen to be sitting at your computer and you're a member of this group, you would have gotten a notification right before our live show here. And then you could have jumped in and joined in on the chat throughout the show and in the game giveaway that we'll be doing towards the end of the show. And that's really easy. We don't put a lot of notifications out there very often, so pretty safe to do that. We also have links to our Twitch, to our YouTube, to our BitChute, and our DLive accounts. So if you're looking for the video form of the podcast, and through a number of those, we're able to watch those live as well. Also for the video for the pre and post show. So if you want to see what we talk about before the show and things that we talk about after the show stops recording, there's a channel that Judd puts together for us for that. And that's right below the BitChute link on our website. Also, we have the audio only forms. So the audio podcast forms of the web of the podcast. And you can do that on a mobile device. They have desktop apps. There's all kinds of things. You can even listen to it directly on our website if you'd like to. And to get to that, you just go to our show notes, and this will be the 291st episode of the show. And so if you go on there, you'll see there's a video player, then there's an audio player right below that, and then all the notes for that show. So if you want to listen to it after the fact, you're more than welcome to follow along, and you can actually watch and listen and view the things that we're discussing at the time. So I think, and of course, if you want to support us, as you saw with Unicorn Joe, you can do that through what we'll see. We'll talk about what it's called here in a little bit, but Twitch Prime subs, and that's that primarily pays for our PAX trip each year, in which we've been saving. You know, we did have someone ask last week, you know, what are you doing with the funds that you're supposed to spend on PAX this week or this year? We save those, and we will be moving forward and either making an even bigger and better thing next year, or coming up with something that's going to benefit the podcast audience and put it towards that. We'll see. And then also humble.infectionpodcast.com and amazon.infectionpodcast.com.
Wait, I've been drinking on the infection podcast, Don. Isn't that what we agreed on?
Okay. Well, maybe there's no PAX. We've spent the 2020 PAX funds, so.
Keep subscribing, though, for the highest quality, for high quality content.
It's fabulous.
Yeah, it is fabulous.
Yeah.
Yes, all that stuff. And Brian, I'm going to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Without sounding like another entitled person, I'm a little depressed because I've for the last 3 years now, we've had a little guys get together. It's total insanity. And by the way, we're going the entire time. There is not much of let's just sit down and relax kind of thing. We are,
it's exhausting by the end of, when we're flying back, we're exhausted. It takes you a couple days to recover just because it's so nonstop go.
Yeah. Plus for me and Lance, the 3 hours, by the time you get acclimated to it, you're coming back. So I'm very bummed that,
we didn't get to do it this year.
We all don't get to, don't get to hang out this year, but I'm sure we'll either do something later this year outside of the podcast. And then of course, God knows what, I PAX is in a good spot, I think, but some of these other cons are probably going to be in a rough spot next year. Teetering on the fence about, do we keep doing it? Do we not? This may have been, the straw that broke the camel's back. At least PAX West and East, the two that we've been to, are incredibly strong conventions. PAX West is insane. It sprawls throughout three city blocks of Seattle. It's the Wyndham Hotels, it's in hotel banquet rooms and ballrooms. It's of course in the Seattle Convention Center. There's little remote things. The first year we went, they had an entire city street closed for PUBG. They had a Fortnite thing in a huge parking lot downtown. I mean, it is a huge, huge, huge event. So hopefully, my fingers are crossed that they decide that it's worthy doing in the year 2021, because it's been cool to go to those and be treated like a big deal, even though we're really not, because we got the shirts on, we got the nice camera, we got the nice microphone. We don't look like a bunch of schlubs walking in there like,
hey, yeah, I do a
video podcast. I like to.
Yeah, can I hold up my iPhone?
Hey guys, Nick here for the podcast. No, we're not doing any of that shit. We're rolling in there professionally. We got thousands of dollars worth of equipment. We got interviewers. We got bodyguards. We're making sure nobody walks in our shot. I mean, Infection Podcast rolls deep, Brian.
We do it right.
Damn straight. We do it right. And that's why we're kind of a big deal.
Well, this is where I'm kind of wondering, though, next year, as you kind of mentioned, ones that were teetering, I'm not sure how studios, all these game studios and even hardware companies are going to deal with having local employees. I mean, a lot of them have talked about having permanently remote employees. Well, that really changes things like this. So it'll be next year's will be a very interesting just test of seeing what they end up doing and what kind of companies show up and how they do it differently.
Yeah, I just kind of had a bit of a thought because you mentioned that. Is it possible that if a lot of companies do go remote, that they would be more inclined to do an event like PAX so that they can in fact get a large, faculty group together and be able to, obviously it's not a team building event. They're busting their ass. And by the way, those booths are manned from the show floor opens at 8 a.m. It closes at 6 or 7 p.m. There are multiple people at that booth the entire time. So it is, and they're pumping people in and out. So they're incredibly busy, but I wonder if that, especially if companies are able to cut down on their, commercial real estate budget, Brian, if that makes more companies either more prone to go to shows like PAX or have a bigger impact or a bigger presence at shows like PAX. That's really the only big one in the U.S. Obviously Comic-Con, but that's a little bit of a different beast.
Well, and also one thing that's been, at least I don't live in California, but I keep hearing that a lot of people are leaving some of these places where these studios are. Like they're moving just because of circumstances with politics and, things with the shutdowns and people just being scared after a pandemic of being in a highly populated area. I think people have realized, oh, there are some drawbacks to being in a highly populated area. There's, you know, if a sickness comes through, you know, a lot of these things with violence, all these things are happening in places where there a lot of these people live. And so I think you'll see that that might change a little bit of how these studios operate too. And I think we won't know until things settle down and people start kind of going back and seeing where they end up settling. So
I do think it is pretty funny though, that every year that we've gone to PAX, I think almost all of us after it have gotten the con flu, as it's known as,
where
you're just like, you're sick for 3 or 4 days afterwards.
And if we would have gone to PAX this year, guaranteed we would have come back with the Rona. So,
well, it'd be the, but my point is I'm not making a health
statement. I'm just saying, all got sick. I mean, we've all got
every
sick.
Single year, it's literally
like,
every year.
So if someone's passing around, like you're going to get it at PAX. So,
yeah. So I don't know. It's interesting, but unfortunately I don't believe there are any live shows. You might start having some local shows starting up. I'm not sure. Yeah. You know, you might have like local city comic cons and stuff and little fair things going on. I know that there's a, if you want to call it a show, there's a gun show here this weekend. That's like the first like indoor event that I've seen really go on here. So that's pretty cool. I don't know what we're talking about PAX. So yeah, that pretty much covers that. I haven't played any video games, Brian. I'm still in the process of, I had some new furniture come in the past week. So nice. I've been assembling furniture. You can't see it in my shot here, but behind my right shoulder, your left, I got a little desk and I have an amateur radio set up over there. So I've got my radios and whatnot. I've got a little computer monitor with a Raspberry Pi running Ubuntu so I can keep track of my contacts.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool. So I've been working on that. Other than that, I've been still kind of MIA. I have not played. I don't believe I've launched a video. I did not launch a video game the past week. I just haven't had time. So that's where I've been. I did open the boxes with all my consoles in it yesterday. I was like, I opened them up and
get
I was
the
like,
ball rolling on actually setting things up.
I was like, and then I just boxed and I put the boxes back up where they were. I was like, I'm not ready to deal with this right now. What about you though?
Once you've got it pretty well settled, you'll be ready to start kind of doing that stuff. But right now the mass, like just the
it's
furniture and all the other things. Yep.
Well, I just put Sunday night. I just put my Open Media Vault server back online, which hosts my, it hosts some things. So I just put that back online and it's been 3 weeks and that, you know, I use that for content curation. And that, cause I didn't even know my Plex server wasn't working, Brian, until Sunday when I was like, oh man, I need to watch some Plex. Then I found out, my Ubuntu instance doesn't have a DNS set. So it can't reach Plex.tv. So it's not talking. So it's always DNS. It's every single issue that has ever existed. Car breaks down DNS. Lose your house. A house burns down. DNS. It's all the same. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's always DNS. So that's what.
And that's why all those services went down. You know, when it was Cloudflare, that was a DNS issue. The Cloudflare DNS went down, and so like a quarter of the internet stopped working when they can no longer look up things. It's great.
Yeah, because I was trying to troubleshoot my Plex. I know that everybody's super interested in this. I was trying to troubleshoot my Plex instance, and I said, okay, let me do an update. So I went, I did a wget https apps.plex.com, yada, yada, yada. It said, cannot find. And I was like, okay, fine. So I downloaded the file locally, put it on my own web server. And I said, okay, wget https blank, blank, blank dot nickcraig.net. And I said, it can't find. I said, oh, God damn it. Of course it can't. Of course it can't reach the Plex server. There's no DNS. So I set the DNS and they were back up and running. Yeah.
Linux Pro.
All right. See you next week.
Well,
So.
Is there anything else you want to discuss before we jump into some of the
About you though? Have you played anything? I know you finished Last of Us. Have you been playing anything?
Yeah, I finished Last of Us. The Ghosts of Tsushima or whatever. I just barely started that. I pretty much have done the intro to it.
Okay.
I haven't put a ton of time into it yet. So that one I'm looking to kind of, because my nephews moved back in this week.
Oh, really?
And okay. So I was talking to one of them and he pretty much 100%ed the game like in the first week. So he's just waiting for them to do the reset where, you know, they have the plus so you can play the game through again on a harder mode with your current things you've already earned in the game. So gotcha. We'll see on that. But yeah, I'm going to get started on that. My week's been pretty stacked. So it's like I haven't had a lot of time to play games. So hopefully in the next couple of days.
Yeah. All right. So that pretty much covers that. Kind of an interesting news week. Not a lot of specific game news, just a lot of general news. Where do you where do you want to get the ball rolling this evening, sir?
All right. Well, first of all, I kind of alluded to it. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about a choice Amazon has made. And they're doing a little bit of rebranding here on Twitch. Mm. And what they're doing is, you know, when we refer to Twitch Prime, that's why I kind of hesitated saying Twitch Prime for our Twitch Prime subs. They've renamed that to Prime Gaming. So Twitch Prime is now going to be Prime Gaming. And, you know, this is one where they say the new name more clearly defines the service as one for gamers, which is kind of strange because Twitch has really, it seems like, gotten away from gaming a lot. But all of a sudden, you know, now this Prime Gaming, I assume those perks they want to be tied to gaming. Yes. As Twitch kind of moves away from gaming, because Twitch Prime on Twitch before, okay, yeah, it's for gaming because Twitch was for gaming. Twitch has become less and less and less for gaming. And, you know, it was twitch.amazon.com is now gaming.amazon.com. So I'm wondering if they want to, some of the perks on there, they kind of want to separate even from Twitch itself and have redeem them for their consoles and not have to think about Twitch.
Well, and I think that's exactly it, is they're trying to trend. Not that Twitch is, I don't think this is any indication that Twitch is struggling at all. What I think this is that, you know, Amazon wants people to pay for Prime. It's $120 a year, and you get these benefits. Now, most people take advantage of the two-day shipping, but Brian, I'm sure, for example, you don't take advantage of the, 150 or 200 gigabytes of photo storage that they give you. I don't know about you, but I don't use Amazon Prime Music. I pay for Spotify. I know a lot of people do use music, but I pay for Spotify.
I actually pay for Amazon's music. I pay for the better the version of it.
Okay. So you've got that. And there's numerous other Amazon Prime, of course, their video service. And then there's numerous other services that you get for your $120 a year, which for somebody that orders a lot off Amazon, is, in my opinion, is steal. But yeah, it indicates to me that, yeah, that's what they're trying to do. They're going to transition some of these Prime perks into, you know, like right now to redeem a game code or something, you've got to go and link your Twitch account to your battle.net or something like that. And it's just kind of like, it's Twitch is this weird middleman that it doesn't really need to be, because Amazon can do all this stuff as Amazon, and they're just calling it. And now the logo is still purple, so it's still within the, it still has the Amazon branding to it, but it's just called gaming.amazon.com now instead of twitch.amazon.com. So good on them.
Now, and that's one thing. Do you think that this is a hint towards them possibly rebranding Twitch itself? Because
no, absolutely
Discord,
not.
First of all,
bingo, boom, shakalaka.
Discord recently has rebranded. Discord did the whole rebrand of saying we're not, Discord isn't just for gaming. Discord is a, you know, communication service for your friends, whatever, outside of gaming. And so they've tried to rebrand. I'm just curious if this is going to, if Twitch is going to have a little bit of a rebrand, maybe a gaming section, you know, if they're going to kind of break it up a little bit and try to separate it.
You mean if Twitch is going to turn back into Justin TV? Is that what you're asking me?
Well, I mean, like it's something kind of, like it, yeah.
Well, that's what it was. I mean, you know, early, Justin TV was a streaming platform with a small gaming category.
And that seems like it's kind of going back to that.
Yeah, well, before we go any further with that, I do want to thank our friend Phantom2415 for hitting us up with the 4-month resubscription in a row. Thank you very much, Phantom. It is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much. I think the rebranding on Twitch has already been done, though, Brian. If you go to the front page of Twitch, not logged in, if you go to the front page of Twitch, you will see that a lot of the time the content featured on the homepage tends to be some sort of talk show, a podcast like, you know, ours. In the case of music, there's a lot of times music content creation going on featured on the homepage. So I'm not necessarily sure they're going to rebrand Twitch. I think a lot of that's already been done. When I think rebrand, I think of a rename. And I don't foresee them renaming Twitch. And I'm not to me, they seem to cater, if not more, to those other streamers' categories than they do gaming anyway. I mean, the platform seems to be catering more towards just chatting or whatever it's called now, IRL or whatever that category is called. It seems to be catering more towards that than gaming anyway.
Yeah. And that's, this is just that, I don't know. I just am wondering if they're going to promote the various areas more separately and kind of be like, okay, we have the gaming category. If they're trying to separate it out a little more, so this is part of the gaming section of Twitch, and then you have the IRL. I just wonder if they're trying to separate it, since most people on Twitch now, you know, in all those other categories, don't really care about the Prime gaming.
I really had wished they never got rid of Justin TV.
No.
I thought that there was a good, I thought it was nice to be able to have that separation. To go to a platform and say, this is all gaming content, and then go to another platform and say, okay, this is just random other BS. I get why they did it, but it pissed me off when they did it, and then seeing this draconian switch that has happened over the past couple of years, it's retarded. It makes there was no reason for them to shut down Justin TV.
Yeah. Well, and I think they realized that there's a lot of other things that you can see on here. I mean, you know, they've realized there's a lot of money in certain things.
I mean, do you remember when they first started Twitch, you would get banned if you weren't, this show would not have been on
Twitch. If you weren't streaming a game, you'd get
banned. This show at the earliest days of Twitch, this show would have had to have been on Justin TV, not Twitch. It would have been against Twitch's TOS. And if somebody reported it, they likely would have deleted the channel. And there was people that had to fight for it. Twit was one of them. Twit.tv was one of the early ones that made that jump. I know the GFQ network did as well, but not without a fight, because Amazon was constantly Twitch at the time, Justin TV at the time, was hitting their channels with these bans because the content was not gaming.
I wish they would separate them a little bit more. I wish that, like, I could go into the gaming section and not have to see all these other things if I don't want to. You could have links and say, hey, we have these other sections over here if you want to see IRL, if you want to see some other things. But we get all kinds of ridiculous things mixed in that they're constantly advertising to us, things that are just, that are silly. And it's like, I wish that if I were going to look for video game streaming, that I could stay in an area that only shows me video game streaming, and I don't get all these other things that I have to sort through, because most of it now is not.
Yeah,
half of it's probably.
Yeah. I mean, the second most watched category on Twitch right now is just chatting, and it's got almost 300,000 viewers.
Yep. And I understand that there is, you know, there's definitely room for that, but if they could just separate them, because right now it's just everything's mixed together. Like, they show everything. They show channels that I've never shown any interest in, or even categories I've never shown interest in, and they're recommending them to me constantly.
Well, that's what I'm wondering
on Twitch.
So, like, I just went to the homepage, and it says categories we think you'd like. Music, Just Chatting, Fall Guys. I have not watched, outside of Just Chatting, because I think that's the category we might be in, I have not watched music on Twitch. I've never watched Fall Guys. I don't even know what it is. And then, of course, Modern Warfare is the fourth one, which, of course, I play all the time. Twitch should know this because I've got my Battle.net account linked to my Twitch account, but that's not the category it's recommending. And that, to me, just seems like a shitty algorithm, because there's no reason it should be recommending modern music, Just Chatting, and Fall Guys over Modern Warfare, which I have watched on Twitch.
And that's the thing is, they're, I know they're trying to figure out. So, like, they'll say, like, here's a category: while Infection Podcast is on offline, and then, you know, they show you things from the same category, talk show and podcast.
That makes sense. Yeah. Great.
That makes sense. But then, you know, they go with some of these other ones, and it's like, as you said, they're nothing to do with what I show interest in.
And I never have. Like, I'm going to click on the music category for the first time. I have never. Okay, that's not true. I believe I've watched music on Twitch.
Yeah.
One time.
Well, I think that they could do a lot better job because Amazon, I'm sure that they're using similar algorithms to how they decide what you maybe buy. The data coming in is different. They probably have a harder time because you're not constantly searching for certain terms trying to find something. But I think that they could do a lot better job of cultivating the content and kind of showing me things that most likely would be something I'd be interested in, because it's like play crafting special events. You know, they're showing me channels that they think I'd like with like 34 viewers, 75, 77 viewers, 24 viewers. Like, why are these on here?
This is what's on the front page of my Twitch. What am I watching?
Yeah.
It's people playing Dungeons and Dragons, I presume. But why is this being recommended to me?
Yeah. If you've never gone to that category, they shouldn't.
Yeah. And I don't know who any of these, I don't even know who this is. The Dungeon Club? I don't know who any of these people are.
Yep. I just think they could do a lot better job of really showing you content that you would actually be interested in, because most of the content that they show me on the homepage is never stuff I'd be interested in.
This is the problem with Mixer. Had the same problem. DLive's got this problem like big time bad. Like, you got the front page of DLive, like your live, like literally, or was it Mixer that we went to? There was a guy, the guy featured on the front page was away. He was AFK. It was just a picture of his chair, and that's who was on the front of Mixer. So I get it, but honestly, Brian, I don't watch Twitch. I don't browse Twitch. I don't go and look at Twitch.
But the thing is,
I never really did.
In the past year, I have not. In the past year, I have not. It's just, there's certain people that I'll watch, and so I'll go directly to theirs just to show support. But I don't have any interest in browsing Twitch anymore. It's too watered down. It doesn't have things that I'm generally interested in anymore. And they don't show anything on my front page to really catch my eye of things that I actually have watched.
Yeah. Well, speaking of things on Twitch and things not on Twitch, Dr. Disrespect made a splash this week, Brian, when he jumped back to YouTube. They started off with a 24-hour live stream that started at like 3 or 4 o'clock Eastern last week.
Yeah.
And it was a 24-hour countdown. The stream came back. I don't know what his highest viewer count was. At one point it was over 500,000.
Yeah. I saw concurrent. About, I think between 520 to 540 was about what I saw. Yeah,
which I would imagine has got to be probably the, outside of like a large event, probably the single highest stream watched on YouTube. And for literally 24 hours, his chat was just rolling.
Especially even for one of his first streams. I mean, it was his first stream, and he got over 500,000.
Yeah, and I mean, I can't even begin to fathom how much money he made, because the whole 24 hours he was live, it was constantly donations and people subscribing to the champion clubs.
Yeah, he wasn't even trying. He's like, I can't even. He didn't understand the interface.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars in the first 20, if not more, in the first 24 hours. And then, of course, he actually streamed. And then, one of the first things, and by the way, whoever does his prod work, they did a really good job on the intro. He was sitting in his car, he's got the flip phone going, he's got, he had the whole shtick going on, and it was cool to see that instead of just being like a lazy jackass for the last 2.5 months, he obviously put, him and his team put a lot of thought into this first stream. They produced that 24-hour loop, they produced little news clips making fun of other streamers, like in between music. They put a lot of work into that, and that's something that I've always, if you watch Infection here on Twitch or with a pre-show, right, when we start live, we've got the, starting soon screen with the video loop, and I appreciate stuff like that. So after all of that,
he actually understands production, which is pretty nice.
Yeah. So he did that. And then, of course, Brian, the infamous question, which he answered pretty much right off the top of him coming back within the first 20 minutes, was, all right, let's talk about Twitch. He still says, which I don't believe, but he says that he still has not been told why he was banned and pretty much has had no communication with Twitch. Now, he did confirm that he is, in fact, suing them over his contract, in which he said there was a lot of money in that contract. Let me rephrase. He didn't say he was suing them. He said that there was a lot of money in that contract and that that's going to be a problem for them. The assumption being there that he would be taking legal action against them.
I think that he has every right to do that, because if they haven't truly given him a reason.
But even if they give you a reason, I mean, you still have a contract. I find it unbelievable that if
they didn't tell him, then the reason that they would have voided his contract is saying you're in breach of your contract. you know, here's the specific reason you breached the contract here. He's claiming that they never did that. So therefore they breached the contract. You know, they were supposed to continue to pay him unless he breaches the contract. He has to break some sort of terms that are pre-written in that contract. And from what he's saying, it sounds like that didn't happen.
So, okay, then let me ask you, do you believe that he doesn't know the reason he was banned?
I believe that no official explanation has been given to him through an official channel. Now, whether or not he has heard or happens to maybe know from some roundabout way, he may actually know, but I don't think that they have officially come to him with like a letter or anything saying, here is the reason you were banned, which is, so I think he's being truthful in that, whether or not he actually knows or has an assumption of what it is, but I don't think they've actually told him a legitimate reason. Because
apparently
why wouldn't
Slasher
he say
knows. You know, Slasher, the infamous being wrong about everything, SJW on Twitter. Yeah. He knows. He says he knows.
Yeah.
So I would find it very hard to believe
he knows that people will discuss it and all these
journalists
will talk about it and put his name in all these articles. You know, so I think that's all he cares about.
Yep. So I don't know if he's streaming now. YouTube really got away. YouTube got rid of YouTube Gaming. It's gone. So that was like where you would see live channels. So I'm not even sure if he's live right now. I'm not subscribed to him, so I don't know. He doesn't appear to be live right now. So yeah, that's that. He's back, Brian. And that is, I think it shows a couple of different things. It shows that his fan base, I think, is different than a lot of other fan bases. I would use Ninja as a great example. When Ninja went over to Mixer, while, yes, he did pull some fans over initially, they fell off the ledge very quickly. I suspect, and I'm not saying he's going to have the same numbers he had on Twitch because he doesn't have that same platform, but I think you will find, and I know of a couple of people in our Discord, Brian, that are very big fans of him and have already resubscribed to his Champion Club service on YouTube.
Yeah.
His audience is more loyal to him than somebody like Ninja's was, where they just wanted to see him play games. People like Dr. Disrespect, the character, more than they do the game. And he's also, by the way, they showed that there was like a montage on his intro. He's a freaking beast. I mean, this son of a bitch is like, he is a savage when it comes to video games.
Well, so one thing I think with him, he tends to pull maybe a little bit older audience than probably most Twitch streams do. I think he attracts older people to actually watch him, where Ninja is going to be a lot of kids. There'll be a ton of kids. So I think that with him, you'll have people that tend to go wherever he's at. I think with kids and watching Ninja, first of all, I think you'll have more parents saying, no, I don't want you on YouTube. They don't know what Twitch is, but they know on YouTube, you know, there's these 13-year-olds. They're like, I don't want you watching YouTube all day. You know, they'll put restrictions. So I think that, you know, kids will, or, you know, they're in Twitch's environment, you know, and you'll have a harder time getting kids to leave that environment. You know, so I just think that, I think for him, it works, where we found out with Ninja, and we found out with what's the other guy's name? Shroud, that their audiences just don't, you know, they're not getting the audiences. They were getting probably a lot of bleed over of people. Oh, I'm on Twitch. I'm watching other people. Oh, I happen to see, because they're playing very specific games that other people like. You know, and you get, okay, this person's done streaming, then you switch over to another person streaming that game. I don't think Dr. Disrespect is as much about the game. It's more about, as you said, the character. People like the character. They don't necessarily like, they don't care as much what he's playing, as long as he's playing it. Yeah. Where on other games, Ninja, Ninja's really not that entertaining of a person. I mean, just honestly, when he talks, he's nothing like Dr. Disrespect as far as entertainment value.
He's not a character. Dr. Disrespect is is the definition of a character.
Yeah, character. Well, that's the thing is with Ninja, you go on there and he's just
Him. He's just like, he's just kind of a goofball. Yeah.
He's a guy playing video games and he's he's good at video games, you know, and that's what it is. I think there's less of that attraction to kind of follow him around as with Dr. Disrespect. You want to know what Dr. Disrespect is going to do next, where with Ninja, he's going to play a video game, you know, and you can watch the highlight clip and it's,
dude, I loved it. He was dropping F-bombs. Like, he's just like, he called Twitch like effing cockroaches. Oh, it was great.
Well, the thing is, he doesn't have as many of those restrictions anymore. Yeah. I mean, YouTube allows a lot more things.
Yeah.
So
I do want to thank Z Jordans for hitting us up with the 100 bits here on Twitch. Says, hey guys, are you excited for Dead Matter? Yes, excited. Still a bit apprehensive on what the game will be versus not be. But yes, very much excited. If you want to chime in on that, Brian.
Yeah, I'm just waiting. I think I always get nervous playing games like right away when they come out because of all the bugs, and I don't want it to really mess with my view of the game, you know, the first 24 hours, first week. So I don't know. I'm hoping that it is very smooth, the launch, and that it's everything that we are expecting it to be, or, you know, people have expected to be in the promise.
Yep.
But we'll see. I mean, it's coming up here like in about a week. And so I'll load it up. I'll try it out. And hopefully it's something that's impressive right away and not one of those, oh, well, here, you know, after they finish it in a year, it's going to be good.
Yeah. And that's what Z Jordan says. Again, hitting us up with 100 more bits, says, bring it on next Thursday, which I believe is when the first set of, they're not alpha.
The early access testers.
Yeah, that's when they get it, which, by the way, I'm not. I still haven't. I knew you were getting it, so I just kind of felt. I'll make my determination after you play it and some other people play it. But yes, very much excited.
And I went on there and made sure my account was all ready to go on that. So I should be getting it as soon as they let me.
Perfect. Yeah, I agree with that. So Tuck Buckman is a lot better than Dr. Disrespect, but we'll leave that.
Bingo, boom,
that's a different conversation for a different day. Thanks to our friend Big Woody Sauce, Brian, the sauce boss, Mr. Ross Eraser, hitting us up with the 21-month. I'll tell you what, man, maybe we should just be ethos. This is fun just reading people's comments like this. Screw doing the show. But what do I have to do here?
To get subs all day, all I have to do is read the comments.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
If you want us to actually read what you type in chat, you got to donate. I mean
this is fun. This is exciting. What? I mean, do something, Brian. Get the zoom in on the fish camera.
I wish I get this right the first time. There we go.
See, look at this.
Oh, there we go.
Subscribe for more high quality fish content. Look at this. Tell me you're getting this anywhere else on.
They're all hiding right now, but you know. There you go. Let's see if we can fix this again. We'll get back to the. There we go.
PH says you already play YouTube videos most of the time, so you're already there. Thank you, PH. I appreciate that. all right, so that covers out Dr. Disrespect and Amazon and some of the things going on there. Brian, I do want to briefly talk. I don't want to lament on it too much, but I do want to briefly talk about everybody's favorite country, China, again. And we talked about TikTok last week. Trump signed an executive order Saturday, I think, giving companies 48 days or something like that, or 40 days to halt
operations. I think it's 45 days, if I remember
45
correctly.
Days to halt operations with TikTok with TikTok, but he also sent a shot at Tencent, which of course you talked about extensively last week. They own all of Riot Games, so they own League of Legends, and they own almost half of Epic. And plus, they've got their you know, paws in literally probably hundreds of other small little game projects in various which ways. This is not good, but it is targeting Tencent, which I think we have been very, I hate to say we're right, Brian, but we've been pegging this for like over a year now. We've been talking about this on the show. So what is your thoughts on this?
All right, so now they did make a clarification on this, that they are not pursuing other things with Tencent, right? You know, and that could change. I think right now
they're going after WeChat, which is Tencent.
So what? But knowing, okay, knowing Trump, I think that personally he realizes what something like targeting Tencent would do without saying, hey, no, we're only going this little piece right here, would have really done things to the market. And you know how he really cares about how the market is doing.
Damn straight.
And so I think that with this, you know, he said, we're not targeting anything else. It's purely WeChat and, you know, and TikTok. But I think that this is the beginning of a movement towards this. I think that they should all be very nervous. I think that this is only the beginning, because if you really look, I mean, I'm going to get political to a point, just not really political, but I want to explain some things that I don't know if I've explained on here. China has their hands, and I know I've talked about this to a point. China has their hands in so many things, you know, and we've shown a lot of those things here in the video game arena, right? Mm-hmm. But if you turn around and look, China's doing things, and I don't know if I've talked about this on here before, but they send a propaganda arm into a lot of schools, grade schools, high schools, junior highs, colleges, around the country. And they do it under the guise of, I'm going to teach people, they're going to teach people Chinese. They get the people that are, they get faculty that they pay a large stipend to be able to monitor these. And then they teach a lot of the concepts of communism. And this has been happening for a lot of years. And what they do is, in exchange to motivate like colleges, is they say, if you allow one of these in your school, we will then send foreign students to your school. And then they get a bunch of money from that because they pay higher rates, and they get money to various money things from the Chinese government as well. These type of activities, as we can see now, I mean, if you look and you're willing to accept certain things in politics, you realize that that has led to a lot of issues that we're starting to see now. Yeah. And so I think you'll see a large push, probably depending on who wins the election here at the end of the year, towards getting China out of the United States in these areas that we, you know, we've highlighted one area here. We talk about video games and China's impact into video games, but this is happening in so many other areas around the country. Food processing, it's in the schools, it's in a lot of business, tech businesses. So I just think that, I think people need to be aware that this is just the beginning. And if they continue to look at all the other areas that the Chinese government has actually come into the United States and is really trying to influence people towards their views, that it covers a lot of areas. And so if they start tackling those, I mean, we started out with a couple, but I think it's going to get worse and worse.
I agree. So. And I do want to thank Z-Droids for hitting us up with another 100 bits here, Brian, asking about some Dead Matter streaming that went on this past week. So thank you very much, sir. It is greatly appreciated. And I'm sure Tim Sweeney is not the happiest camper in the world.
I'm sure he's a little nervous at the moment.
I would be very nervous if I were him. You know, for League of Legends is a huge game. Could you imagine just an outright ban on League of Legends, what that would do for the East?
I mean,
I'm not even going to try to pontificate on what that will be.
I think it's going to continue to be like what you see here with TikTok. You have 45 days to sell. I think that for an investor, that's an excellent proposition, because you have someone who has to sell within 45 days. There's minimal negotiating happening at that point. But I think there are companies that would be willing to buy these companies up. Microsoft was talking about purchasing TikTok. And so these are companies that are very profitable. They're doing very well, but are forced to sell for various
TikTok
reasons.
TikTok is not profitable. They're not. Well, they've got a lot of user data, but they're not profitable. They don't make any money. But they've got 100 million active users.
That's going to be the issue. That's the issue. If you're using it as a method to gather data on people, which the Chinese government was using it to influence people in the United States and gather data on people in the United States, for them, it was profitable. If you have somebody who, like Microsoft, or for whatever reason, doesn't have all of the ways to maybe, I mean, they tried. Here's another secret for people that I think I've mentioned a long time ago. The reason that Apple makes phones, and the reason that Google makes an operating system for phones, is because they want to track your data. They want to track what you're doing. They use it for marketing. They also want to be able to not allow you to skip ads and block ads on a phone. And so that's why they make these things. And so for them, that's the value of it. I think for Microsoft, they don't really have, they tried the phone thing. They don't really have, they have an operating system, but they can't really restrict it. You know, they made it free. So I think that was them trying to figure out, can we, is there a way that we can kind of offer the operating system almost free and then we can put more ads and stuff in there? I think for them, going into an app where they can track a lot of data, they can do various things, maybe it works for them. You know, there are companies that will find a benefit to it.
I need to clear the record here. Judd is indicating that we are owned by Tencent, and I would say that is absolutely not true. We are owned by Epic, and I'm not going to, yes. You can connect those dots if you'd like. I'm not saying anything further than that on this program. So I think
as long as we keep receiving our monthly checks, we're good.
I mean, how do you think I bought this house? I mean, it's all that Epic money.
How'd you get all that money converted from the Chinese?
The yen, I went to the, where do you do that? The post office, the bank? I don't know where you convert money. Thank you, Judd, for the 100 more. Okay, guys, let's stop that. I want to do the show. I was joking.
Serious.
Yeah, it's annoying me. So that's China.
TikTok. Nick saying, quit giving money. It's annoying me.
We don't have anything to spend it on, so I don't want it.
You're the worst Twitch person I've ever seen.
Am I ethoding good enough? Am I winning? So that's TikTok, Tencent. Possible restrictions on video games and other online services in the future. Brian, another casualty of coronavirus is Halo. And they have announced... Yep. And this one sucks. I'm going to read this here directly from the Twitter feeds of Halo. Today, I want to share an important Halo Infinite development update with the community. We have made the difficult decision to shift our release to 2021 to ensure that the team has adequate time to deliver a Halo game experience that meets our vision. The decision to shift our release is the result of multiple factors that have contributed to the development changes, including the ongoing COVID-19 related impacts affecting us all this year. I want to acknowledge the hard work from our team at 343 Industries, who have remained committed to making a great game and finding solutions to development challenges. However, it is not sustainable for the well-being of our team or overall success of our game to ship it this holiday. We know that this will be disappointing to many of you, and we all share in that sentiment. The passion and the support of the community has shown over the years and has been incredible and inspiring. We wanted nothing more than to play our game with our community this holiday, Christmas. The extra time will let us finish the critical work necessary to deliver the most ambitious Halo game ever at the quality we know our fans expect. Thank you for your support and understanding. Chris Lee, studio head of Halo Infinite. So a couple of things here. And by the way, thank you. I gotta even see who this was. Thank you, G Zorns, for you don't get to decide what I do with my money. That's true. 200 bits on that. Thank you very much, sir. Couple things here, Brian. This is absolutely shafting Microsoft.
Yeah.
This was the game for the new console. This was it.
Launch title.
I don't necessarily know if it was a launch title. But I don't know if it was coming out on the Xbox One. I'm not sure, but this was a game coming out on the new generation system.
Yeah.
I think this tips the scale firmly back into Sony's hands, because now I would say the last incredibly this is the last of the very popular Microsoft series from the 360 days. Gears of War really doesn't exist anymore. I'm trying to remember all the other games that they had. They just don't exist anymore. Halo is it. And frankly, the reason Halos have sucked too. But now that they're delaying this to 2020, I get it. I get why they're doing it. But would you be surprised if Microsoft delays the console? Because to me at this point, I don't know why you would release a console. What are you going to play? Grand Theft Auto 5? On your third generation game system? What are you going to play? Madden?
The upside is it's backwards compatible. But the downside is you buy this really expensive
$500?
Console, and then you're playing all your last generation games on it because there's nothing really released that was there at launch.
Yeah. Thank you, G-Zordans and Judd, for the bits.
Z-Jordan, yeah.
I'm going to turn the volume down a little bit so it's not as quite distracting. I don't see how they could delay a console release, Brian, but...
This year, anything could happen, though. I mean, this is the weirdest year where nothing follows standards or any kind of precedents at all.
I've made this clear on the program. I am a Microsoft fanboy. I'm a Halo fanboy. I'm a Call of Duty fanboy. That, with all of that being said, and I said I wasn't going to buy, I don't remember what I said I was going to buy. I would say I wouldn't buy the next Xbox the day it comes out. I probably would have. Without a launch title like Halo Infinite, I think a lot of people, especially depending on what people's financial statuses look. I mean, you've got
which is really going to be up in the air at this point.
Tens of millions of people unemployed. I think you're going to find people hard pressed to spend $500 on a system that really doesn't have a game. You know, obviously there will be launch titles, but you need your. You know, and the Xbox One had the same problem. There was no launch. The launch titles on the Xbox One were that shitty Roman Rise game. What's the other zombie game on the damn Xbox? It was one of the launch titles. You're running around in the mall hitting things. They didn't have a huge. They didn't have a huge launch title. I'm fearful. And as you can see now, Sony Dead Rising. Thank you, PH. And as I'm sure you're seeing now, Brian, Sony has swiftly kicked Microsoft's ass in this generation of console. And a lot of, I think, that has to do with day one, what is available for me to buy when I buy a new system. And I think that is a big issue. And PH says State of Decay 3 got teased. It's not big enough. State of Decay 3 is not a big enough game.
Do you think that the election itself is, I mean, this is during, they're releasing supposedly the Xbox near the time of the election. Do you think that's going to affect this at all too?
Well, I mean, people don't pay for the election. So, I mean, I'm not.
What I'm saying is depending on the election, it could seriously affect the market and people's view financially of what might be going forward. You know, I think half of America thinks that if one person wins, America's doomed. If the other half thinks if the other person wins, America's doomed. I'm wondering if putting it in November is a great idea, because I think a lot of people are going to be nervous. I mean, you got half of America scared to death of the other half at the moment, it seems like. I'm just curious if this may affect the election, may even affect console sales at this point.
I think there's a lot of impacts here, but that is huge gaming news for this week. Yep. A very, very large story. So I believe that puts us up to date with what's going on with Sony and Microsoft and some of the next generation console stuff.
There was a story that I wanted to mention, and I don't want to watch. There's a video of it, and I don't want to have that on our podcast. But there was somebody who was swatted, and they were playing. They were in Phoenix, and they were playing a video game. They were playing Crash Bandicoot. The neighbor, this is a gaming problem. Now, this wasn't done by a gamer. Usually we run into live streamers and this happening. But with this, the neighbor upstairs said, you know, they're making noise. And the person on the 911 call, the person answering it, said, do you think that there's a risk of being violent? You know, do you think that there's some sort of violence happening? And the person making the call said, if you think that will make them get here faster, then sure. Because he just wanted to be quiet. He wanted to make the sound lower. Well, then they put the call in as possible violence, even though the person receiving the call knew it was not, which I think is bad. And the downside of this, the guy came out with a gun down, aiming at the ground because it was late at night. There was, you know, he was seeing why. And the police officer shot him without a single direction or call out of, you know, put your weapon down. So now this... in the current politics, you don't see people freaking out and yelling about this. You may want to look at why. You can do that on your own time. But this is something that I think, man, is a problem. You know, and this seems to happen to video gamers for some reason with swatting. But this one was just a neighbor. They swat him downstairs. But I think this is a huge problem in people being able to call in and say, you know, this person is a problem, and then they come in with a SWAT team. I mean, I think that that is a actual big problem, because we've had a lot of people killed that are totally innocent. You know, there was nothing happening before. This guy was playing a video game. His girlfriend came out and said, "Why'd you shoot him?" You know, he was playing a video game. He could have asked us to turn it down.
Yeah, well, and this one I wouldn't really classify as necessarily swatting. It was a police officer,
but I mean, they're labeled, like, there's various ones where they claim it as swatting, but it wasn't. Yeah. They didn't bring out the full SWAT team, but the officers went in with a raised sense of possible danger.
Well, and that's exactly have been there. Well, exactly, and that's what swatting has been in the past, is you call the SWAT team and say, "Oh my God, Brian is murdering his entire family." So, and again, you know, Brian, I don't know about you, but I answer my door with a gun at night. I mean,
but I live in Idaho, so.
Well, I mean, I'm serious. there's a lot of craziness going on.
But I also have cameras on my front door, cameras on my front entry. If I'm concerned, I'll look and see who it is first and what the situation is before I answer the door.
One thing I will note as well, without getting into it too politically, the police knocked on the door, Brian, and then both came out of the view of the peephole. So when he looked through the door, there was nobody there, which I'm sure
I don't know why they would do that. I think this was just very poor policing by this one person. First of all, you need to say this is the police. They didn't. This is knock knock. This is the police. And so I think with this, they need to. And Judd is saying, and there was someone knocking on their door the night before. You know, it was probably maybe even the neighbor messing with them, you know, and I think that he was concerned. The police officer was concerned because the neighbor claimed that there was possible violence when he knew that there was not. Yeah. And so I think that how you're going to solve problems like this is go to the person who made the call and
they should be arrested for manslaughter.
Sort of charge. Well, gives whatever charge you can get to actually convict.
I mean,
my concern is, well, the police officer may be able to get on manslaughter because he didn't follow protocol. First of all, he didn't announce he was a police officer. He hid from the view of the person opening the door, and then he shot without giving any sort of direction to lower the weapon. The man had every right to have a weapon in his hand in the state he was in, and he was not aiming at the officer. It was pointed down the whole time. He had every right to do what he did. The police officer was in the wrong, and the person making the call was in the wrong. I think they should go after the person making the call for a false report. And whatever they can do and take whatever they can tack onto that to make it serious, because that guy is the reason that they were killed. He should have been a man, if it was a man, walked downstairs and knocked on the door and said, "Hey, it's too loud. Will you turn it down?" And it would have saved somebody's life.
Yeah.
And then if he was unwilling to do it, then call a noise complaint and say, "I talked to my neighbor. He refused to turn it down. Will you pursue this?" But they wouldn't be going in with thinking that violence is happening at that point in time.
Yeah, no, agreed. So yeah, it was a kind of a multi-faceted collapse of multiple things. And like we've seen with many a swatting cases, Brian, there was a guy who shot, some Call of Duty guy was shot swatting, you know, probably a couple of years ago. We talked about it on this program. It's not the first time. And there's been multiple instances of people coming very close to being shot and killed because the same thing, Brian, if somebody knocked on my door and I looked out and couldn't see anybody, you're damn straight I'd be pulling my gun out of my holster and taking the safety off. And I would expect a lot of people, and that's a very common thing. The point is, well, I don't know what your point is. I've got some points that are political and I won't make here. But it's just a really shitty situation.
Yeah, and I think, and I went out of my way to find an article that didn't call it swatting on this, because all the gaming blogs called it swatting, and so I went and found one that actually said, you know, that just gave a lot of quotes of what happened. They have a link to the video if you want to watch it, but they did not call it swatting. So I tried to find the one that was the least just political and trying to push
I don't know how
perspective.
Yeah, it's not surprising to me. I mean, look at the intellect of the individuals writing these articles for these gaming blogs. But it's not. Yeah. I mean, it is most definitely not swatting. I mean, yeah. Swatting is when the SWAT team shows up. Two on-duty police officers are not SWAT teams. So
yeah, and so swatting. This one, you know, that's what happened. It's sad that it happened.
The day his daughter graduated, too.
What are you going to do?
The day his daughter graduated, he was at his daughter's either college or high school graduation or something earlier in the day.
Yep.
So, really, really crappy.
Yeah. So, anyways, I just wanted to bring that. You'll probably see this. I think it just happened recently here. So, I figured people would be interesting before you see it on all the YouTube channels with all the false things along with it. All right. Do you have another? Do you have a preference?
Well, I do. And speaking of false things, Brian, we are not false on this program. And I typically around this portion of the show, we give something away to the nice boys and girls that are joining us here on the live stream, Brian.
Yes. So if you want to enter into this giveaway, you can go to type in chat !! Giveaway. Before the end of the show here, we will give away a copy of Phantom Doctrine. So Phantom Doctrine. And this is a very highly rated. It's got very positive for recent, mostly positive overall. It was released in 2018. It is a turn-based tactics strategy Cold War stealth game. It's currently $39.99 on Steam. So it's a $40 game. If you're interested in winning this, !! Giveaway, and then we'll give it away here pretty soon.
Let's jump to Cyberpunk 2077. They released a new video this week. I'm not going to show any bit of it because I will get hit with a copyright strike. But they released their Night City Wire Part 2. I think it was a Twitch stream, and obviously it's up
about
on YouTube
30 minutes
now.
If I remember correctly.
It's about a 30-minute video, and it's a mix of cinematic gameplay with different developers and people that were part of the development process. It's kind of like it's kind of neat. Normally you see these after a game comes out, but it's kind of like a walkthrough documentary of certain things, which is kind of cool. Really, really well produced. This one focuses a lot on weapons, and it shows a bunch of the new different pieces of
categories of weapons. So because they show the different types of weapons, you know, you got your powerful weapons, ones that are like shotguns. And so they went through all the categories. And I think then they were just trying to show kind of the variety inside of all of those. So how did you get a chance to watch the whole thing?
No, I've watched about half of it.
Okay. I mean, so far, because I know that you're on the fence when it comes to Cyberpunk. Did it help sway you one way or the other?
I'll tell you this. I found this because they were literally, they were just in this part, I did see this part of it. I specifically scrubbed to this part of it. This just shows the weapons and what they do. Right? There's not really any bullshittery going on here, right? Like they show the gun, they show it's kind of its fire type, they show what it looks like in different environments day and night through the scope, not through the scope. So I would say this is definitely the most realistic thing we've seen. I'm still getting this game anyway. I hope I haven't given people the wrong impression on that. I just, until it is
you're
out
just on the fence whether or not it's going to be what they promised. And
yeah, really, I mean, I'm going to play it.
I mean, it'll be a success in sales. I'm sure of that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everybody and their brother's going to buy it, especially now with Halo Infinite being canceled. I believe it's probably the only AAA title coming out for the rest of the year. So I'm definitely playing it, but I would say my view hasn't radically changed. I'm still just same way I am with Dead Matter. I'm still pretty apprehensive.
Now, another thing that they talked about in here was having three different storylines. Now, Grand Theft Auto kind of did this in their story where you played eventually through the single story, you played through pretty much three different types of people. Mm-hmm. I think they're going for something very similar because for people that don't know much about the actual Cyberpunk world, this is based on kind of like a D&D style role playing where there's a rule book, just like you have wizards and you have, warlocks and rogues and everything else in role playing. This Cyberpunk has its whole own category of this. And so you've got in here, when you create the character, you have three totally different starting points for characters, three totally different stories. So if you start out as one of the stories, you start out pretty much like a street smart person, which would be similar to, I don't remember the names off the top of my head now, for Grand Theft Auto. But you had, you know, had this exact same thing where you had a guy who's a member of a gangs and, you know, in that whole crowd, that would be more of that route. Then you have this, the businessman, which was a lot of the main character in GTA 5, you know, with the rich man in his mansion with his family problems and everything else. And then you had just this guy who's kind of a redneck and crazy, right? I think they're going for a very similar concept to get you into three different areas of the town and to see three different total kind of origins on this. I think it's a cool way to do it because you can start the game over, start from a very different path, have different skills, and kind of have three different ways to play the game so that once you play through it once, maybe, you know, I assume there's going to be a ton of content, but eventually when you play through it once, you could start over, play a different character and see how the story's different. It will be interesting to see, is this one of those where the story is only really different for the first like 5-10 hours and then you kind of merge into a unified storyline? That seems to be what a lot of games do. Or is this going to be something that feels truly unique for that character all the way through the end of the game, you know, to where they'll have differences as you go through, even quests maybe that you never see from one character to the other? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but I will agree with you. It is... Now, you asked me earlier if this made me more like less likely. Seeing the second article and hearing about how there essentially is three campaigns in the game for lack of better explanation.
Yeah.
You know, I don't ever question GTA. Maybe I should, I shouldn't. And it appears to me that CD Projekt Red is going for the same thing with this.
Yeah, and I think that's cool, though, because you would have a hard time getting a single character with a single story because, you know, GTA realized that they wouldn't be able to do it smoothly. And so they went through and they made it to where you kind of alternated through these characters. Here, you know, you're going to be interacting with people that are in those worlds, but you're going to be playing from the perspective of that one person through the whole thing. Yeah. What I find interesting, what I think will be kind of cool, is as one of the characters, because it's going to be a big open world. You'll be able to go in. Let's say you're the street smart person. Okay. Well, okay. When you're on the streets, those people react totally different to you than if you were a businessman. Like the businessman can't go down in the streets. He'll get a negative reaction from people. He may have people attack him, things like that. I think that that's going to be really interesting because that will make it truly feel different too, because a businessman could go into buildings and places that the street smart person cannot. And so I think that it truly will create enough variation to where if they can maintain that for a long enough period of time, it will really feel different.
Agreed. And I think the same way that at this point, probably 2 years ago, Red Dead Redemption was refreshing to a lot of people, including more you than me, but still refreshing. I think this game, if in fact it is what they say it's going to be, will be very refreshing to a lot of people.
Yeah. And Firebomb's asking in chat, he says, thinking about The Last of Us 2 recently, does this change your mind about whether or not to buy this game? We're talking about Cyberpunk day one. Do you trust Cyberpunk? Personally, I think they have done a really good, and they made a statement. We are not getting into politics. I think what really killed The Last of Us 2 was the politics, trying to fit in so many politics that were very ill-timed. I think with this, they're making a story. They're keeping all these external factors out of it, not trying to... I mean, one thing that GTA did very well, GTA referenced politics, but you know what? You couldn't really see what side they're on. They made fun of all politics equally. They made fun of... they tried to make fun of everything possible from every angle.
They didn't
take one side.
Yeah, there's like the fake talk radio station in the game where there's obviously like an Alex Jones character that's just screaming. Yeah, there's Alex Jones,
Rush Limbaugh. They've got all these different ones and they make fun of them. But you know what? They did it in a way that I think was classy enough to where you weren't like, oh, that was spiteful. You know, they just made fun of it in a way that even a fan of that person would be like, that was funny.
Yeah, because unlike half the people, you know, that I feel like I interact with, I can still laugh at something even if it's somebody that I like. Because at the end of the day, a joke is a joke and comedy is still funny. When you beat the dead horse with the stick for 4 years, it's not funny. It just becomes very gruesome.
It's annoying. Yeah, exactly.
And that's where I think, I don't know, I didn't play it, but that's where I think The Last of Us Part 2, the way you described it, kind of fell. It was just this
constant. The same thing over again. There was no depth to it. It just got boring. Now, one thing is, Saul is pointing out some details about CD Projekt Red's Cyberpunk. First of all, they worked hand in hand, and this is Saul Greatman's pointing this out, with the tabletop creator version of the game, the one I was talking about, Mike Pondsmith. Yes, which Nick and I have played with a group of people from the podcast, and it was a ton of fun. The depth to it. Yeah. And Nick did an excellent job. It would be fun to do that again. But the thing is there, as you saw when creating those characters, there was a huge amount of depth to that game. So they worked hand in hand with him to get, because all that depth that they need to make a video game is already there in the lore. And so they worked with him to make sure that the lore and all the story and everything that they put in matched the original thought and ideas of Cyberpunk. And I think that there's a very good chance that this will be very, very successful, because I think it's hard with a new game to really create all that lore. I think that they've done a really good job of it with Geralt and the whole story, you know, with the Witcher series. Mm-hmm. They did a really good job of creating a backstory and lore, and they made enough games to where it all has come together. I think The Last of Us 2 originally created a really good lore and backstory, or The Last of Us. I think they kind of destroyed it in the second one, because there was no real, I don't think there was anything memorable that people are like, oh, that seems like lore. So I don't know. I think that I'm hopeful, because I would really like to have a really big game that gives me the same sense of vastness and everything that GTA did. That's what I loved about GTA. I just felt like I could just log into the game. I could open up the game. I didn't really have to be like, oh, well, now I got to complete this quest. I could do whatever I want. I just log in and start doing stuff, and maybe the quest will fall in front of me at some point, but you're just having fun doing things. And I think that this is going to be one of those type of games if they make it right.
Yep. I tend to agree. So that is a little bit on Cyberpunk 2077.
Yes. Now, there's been a little bit of kind of a back and forth with Apple, and we talked a little bit last week about, for instance, Xbox's streaming service that they're going to be doing. Mm-hmm. Apple's been really pushing back, because they've been, these various companies, Microsoft with xCloud, like I just mentioned, there was some others that they've, Facebook Gaming, they've been trying to get it to where they can have an app on the iPhone or on the Apple Play Store. And
App Store?
Yes, the App Store. Okay. Sorry, not the Play Store. That's the Android one. But the App Store. And so Apple's been saying no. You can't put the xCloud gaming app on here. They said no initially to Facebook Gaming. And their reason is that they kind of gave for instance, Microsoft's xCloud service, is we don't have a way to verify. We can't go and test that it meets our standards, because they're providing content after the fact and you're adding it to the app. So there's no way, which I've never really heard of this before. Can they guarantee everything Netflix does? Honestly, I think more of it, they're using that as an excuse, but I think what it really is they view it as competition, because if people can rent through a streaming service access to all these games, which, hey, they're still getting a cut, they feel like it's going to pull away from purchases on their marketplace. Or perhaps they're working on their own thing that they're not talking about yet, and so they're just making all these excuses up so that they can delay it long enough before they announce having they have a, not a streaming service, they have a kind of a game store.
Yeah, they do.
Service.
Yeah, like an arcade pass.
Yeah, but for some reason, they're really pushing off these streaming services, and the only reason I can really think of is either they don't want competition for their Game Pass, or they have something working in the works that they're going to be putting out that will be a direct competitor to these companies. They did allow Facebook Gaming to do it, but they made them remove the mobile playable games that were packaged in with it.
Boy, it must really suck to for a platform not to allow your app for no reason. Boy, that must that must really suck. If only that wasn't happening to certain groups of people for the past years.
All these
other places, my world's smallest file in from Microsoft.
Yeah.
You're being unfairly scrutinized. Oh no, you're being unfairly not allowed into the App Store. Oh my God, that's awful. I have so much sympathy for Microsoft.
Yep. So this is a little bit of their own medicine coming back.
Yeah,
to
damn
them.
Straight. You're absolutely right, Brian. Yep. A little bit of their own medicine. Abso-freaking-lutely. Yep.
So this is something that came up. So you won't be seeing for at least unless some serious negotiations happen with Microsoft services. But Facebook's been working on this for a long time. They've been for months. They were trying to get their Facebook gaming app on there. Last Friday, they stripped. One of the two, what they called central features of this, a library of playable mobile games. They took that out of there and then they were able to. So Facebook gaming now is pretty much you can watch streaming, I would assume. I think they had, some of the Facebook games you could play on there. But now you have it to where you can pretty much watch streaming on there and not play any mobile games.
Kind of defeats the whole purpose, but. All right.
Well, and that's the thing with the Xbox Pass. I mean, it's pretty much it's letting you stream content to your mobile device. Why would they restrict that? Because right now there's no way to do that. I mean, short of these services, there's no way to do that on the market. And these are games that are not directly purchasable in the Apple Play Store or App Store. That's why I tend to think that they're working on their own streaming service that they haven't announced yet, and they're delaying.
Well, that would be antitrust, and then if that's the case, Microsoft should sue them.
I'm sure that'll be in the news here in the next couple of months.
That's a little bit of
Apple news. And a little bit of a similar, but a little bit different here. Steam is finally having that EA Access.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Coming to the Steam platform. So you have it to where you can subscribe. Because I have EA Access on my Xbox. I wonder if that subscription would cover both. I doubt
it. I'm sure it does. But if it's using the same account to log in, I'm sure it does.
Absolutely. I wonder if they allow you to authenticate your EA account and then see that you pay for the service and allow me to access it on Steam as well.
It does.
So that's coming. Up to this point, EA Access was on Origin for 5 years. So now this is moving a big part of that to Steam. And so we will see how that works. Hopefully it's smooth. I'll try it out. I'll have to test and see if it allows me to link my account.
Phantom says it doesn't.
There.
But I don't know that to be true.
Okay. Well, right now, I think I can just go through the Microsoft App Store and get these things, but it's silly the concept of that I would have to pay for it twice. That just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So we will see. It does cost $100 on Origin. It costs $100 a year, and so, but you get like extra perks like Vault DLC, more Vault games, and an unlimited early access trials when you do that.
Let me remind you, this is the same company, EA. That back in the mid 2010s were when you bought a game that had multiplayer, they were including a one-time scratch-off online game code. So if you bought the game secondhand, you'd have to pay to get access to the online.
To the online again, which is silly.
I understand the same company. No, I don't. No, that's ridiculous.
Process.
No, I don't.
Well,
now they
have you pay for online access. You pay a flat fee for like PlayStation Plus. You pay Xbox Live.
But you've always paid for
those. You're paying for that now. Yeah. But did you always pay for those before PlayStation Plus?
Xbox has always been a Xbox 360. Now, PlayStation, no, it wasn't. But Xbox Live has always been a paid for feature.
Why would they make you pay? I mean, you're paying for the cost of their servers at that point.
Correct, they made $60 on the sale of the game, and if you resold it 10 times, if you sold your copy to somebody else, EA didn't get any more money, but then they would charge you, the new buyer, to buy an online code for like $20. It was nonsense.
That's crazy.
Phantom says, I had EA Access on the Xbox and had to get Origin Access separately. Eventually canceled EA Access and got Origin Premier. So apparently they are separate things, which would be par for the course, double dipping pissing off consumers. Not my... especially when you're already a company like EA and already have terrible press because your launcher is garbage. Doesn't seem to be the best way to get the community rallying behind you. But hey, what do I know? What do we know, bro? We're just a bunch of stupid podcasters, right? We don't know anything.
Yep, exactly. One thing I did want to mention, I did mention before, but I didn't put any emphasis on it. Shroud did return to Twitch. So I mentioned it during that time, but kind of in passing, but that is something that also happened this past week.
Gotcha. All right. Let's take a look at our friends over at ROE and see what's going on there. We've got an update out as of August 6th, so a couple of days ago, and they've added their pinnacle challenges. Those are back. So they include free reward. They includes a free season 10 adventurer pass, as well as e-points, experience points, and exclusive portrait. So this is it's a challenge. There's various challenges in there. I'm sure things like headshots and kills and explosive, a whole bunch of different things in there. They've re-added green reticle styles for the red dot and holographic sight and adjusted the default style. Breathe to hold. Players are no longer able to hold breath while using gliders and vehicles. Entering ADS while holding down shift to sprint will no longer automatically hold breathe. Players will need to release shift and press it again. So you'll now have to essentially go through an extra step to make sure that you're holding to stabilize your shot. On the effects side, they optimized third-party weapon muzzle flash effects, optimized the screen shake effect in certain cases, and optimized the FPP elimination animation. And then the final thing here is on the audio side, they added the enable HRTF option, and that is now turned on by default, which
can you say it again? What is it?
Stands for, it's something with 5.1. I'm reading about it at PUBG, but what it stands for.
So head related transfer function. It characterizes how the ear.
Oh, okay. If you move your head left and right, your audio moves.
Yeah,
it's
how the ear perceives sounds from a sound source. So it travels through space in every direction. Sound wave, as the sound expands outward from the sound source in every direction, like a rapidly expanding sphere. So it's pretty much the way that sound expands from that source, and how it hits your ears, probably at different points, things like that.
Gotcha. So now that's in the game and it's on by default. So if you that's a problem for you, you have to go ahead and turn that off. And that was that's all we had there from ROE. A pretty quick update from those folks.
Yep. All right. Do you want to go into PUBG or do you want to go into Rust? I know we have a little bit longer video for us. Do you want to do that now?
Yeah, let's do Rust now. We've got two different things on Rust, Brian. We've got the roadmap and a table of an update. Which one would you rather go to first?
Let's go ahead and do the short video first. It's only a minute, but I think it's mostly video with music. So maybe if we could just kind of explain what they're seeing, because I think for the audio listeners, they're going to struggle with this video.
All right. So this is their Rust 2020 update. They've added new roof corners. These look like they're shingle roofs. Couple of different designs for that, so you can,
and they automatically adjust based on where they're at, so there aren't things sticking out.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they've added berry plants. They've put a whole bunch of emphasis on farming recently, and then you can use different ingredients to get different T boosts. They've added a new deployable mixing table to the game, so you can get your explosives and tea and gunpowder and things like that going on. They've made a new vehicle model for the armored vehicle. That is in here now. Obviously, they just added vehicle, 3 weeks ago, something like that.
Yeah.
So that's fairly new. They've added the wooden barricade, a little bit of Fortnite going on in here, Brian. You just be running and putting up walls in front of you, a little bit of Fortnite action going on. Add to the uniqueness of gunfights a little bit. And I believe that is it for that update there, August 2020 update. So,
and as you can see, there was no words except when you had to kind of explain as you're going through.
Yeah, nothing too crazy in there. The deployable barriers are rather interesting. I'm not joking when I say Fortnite, because that's very much so what that plays a huge factor into a game like that.
Now, I think from reading about this, I think something like this was in Rust Legacy.
Ah, okay.
So I think that there was something kind of like this. I don't know if it works exactly the same now, but they're saying for the Rust Legacy veterans, you should recognize the following. And then they introduced the wooden barricade. So I guess this was in there at some point.
Cool, yeah.
So, but let's go and do the, so this is the Rust roadmap that they released, you know, summer 2020 roadmap. It's just short of 11 minutes, but it's going to show a lot of the things that they've partially done and things they're going to be doing, through the next year. So this hopefully will have some cool things that give us an idea of where Rust is actually going, because we never know. I mean, they throw random things in there and you're like, oh wow, a beach stuff, and then now they're doing planners and cars and everything else. So
all right, let's take a look.
Greetings, survivors and friends, ShadowFranks here, and welcome to another episode of Let's Have a Look at the Roadmap for Rust and see if anything's changed, because we haven't done one of these for a while, and it's good to keep your finger firmly on the proverbial pulse. For those of you who don't know, Rust does actually have a roadmap, and although the way it's been presented has changed over time, we can still get a glimpse of what sort of things are being planned. Not all of them, of course, but some interesting stuff. It's over on rust.nalt.io if you want to take a gander, and I'll stick the link down below. Oh, and make sure you're subscribed and have notifications on so you never miss an upload. Probably. Unlike previous roadmaps, this one is actually interactive and lets members of the peasantry suggest and vote on which features they'd like to see next. But first, you should be happy for me because this video has a sponsor, which means my family and I can continue to eat pies and not die, so bear with me. This is you. You like the internet. I mean, you're only human, but you also know that online privacy is massively important, and this is where you need a VPN, and more specifically today's sponsor, NordVPN. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, which is like a special tunnel that all your totally legal and above-board data travels down, hiding your IP address and encrypting everything, thus keeping you safe. NordVPN double encrypts your data and lets you connect to over 5,500 super-fast servers in 60 countries on planet Earth. You want to binge that new show on RustFlix that the survivors on the next island can watch because of their location? No problem. Fancy being French for the day? Sure, I won't tell anyone. It even works in a certain large Asian country with a population of more than 1 billion. You can use it on Windows, Mac, iOS, Android, Chrome, and probably even your toaster. It works while you're on the go, comes with a cybersecurity suite and ad blocker, and you can have up to 6 devices connected simultaneously with unlimited bandwidth. I could go on about its features, but the most important thing you need to know is that right now you can get 70% off NordVPN and an extra month free by using my link down below, or with code ShadowFrax. Back to the video. So, the current Rust roadmap is divided into 5 sections. In progress, planned, researching, or thinking about without committing to anything, rejected, we'll get to this later, and complete it. There is, of course, a lot more being worked on. For instance, you will have heard me lately speaking about the Animal Art update, and the new mixing table has just landed on staging that I'll be making a video on tomorrow, and that will enable us to make tea. Still no mention of biscuits, but hey-ho. What I'm trying to say is that this shouldn't be taken as a full roadmap. That probably exists on the back of a toilet roll tube somewhere, but rather, which community suggestions made here are currently on it. Also, some of these are still kicking around from the last time we looked at it, but no pressure. At the top of the in-progress list is HDRP, and okay, this is where I immediately contradict myself because this suggestion was made by Gary. But nonetheless, Unity's high-definition render pipeline will hopefully solve a number of render issues and may, in big letters, lead to better performance. A number of tantalizing shots of the results have leaked out of Facepunch over the last year, and the commits log shows that it's still being ground away at heavily, so hopefully this means the team still view it as a good use of time. No dates for completion, though. Next in the list is better terrain. Sorting problems such as stretched textures on slopes and hills, a lack of flat building spots on mountains, flying rocks, which we've all marveled at, haven't we, and general rock formation boringness. This is kind of tied to the first suggestion, as HDRP will change a lot of things when it comes to textures. Interestingly, the third item is gestures, which we do kind of have if you're willing to play with keybinds, but I guess it's still here because we'll ultimately have them on a wheel. As this early example shows, the planned section is a lot more populated though, and first up is fixing Bradley, stopping him from shooting you through walls at the launch site, which is not only annoying, but also gives away your position. Adding birds is next, and I'd love to see this. Birds in the forest or sky, even if just for decoration, would add a certain lived-in feel. They work great for adding scale to distant things, of course, and as discussed many times on this channel, vultures circling over something would be an excellent way to show where nearby loot slash danger may be found. New weather types are still planned. Again, I would say this will probably come post-HDRP, but eventually we may see the return of rain, snowstorms, or perhaps the odd radiation event. Who knows? Tier 2 cooking isn't a new idea, of course. Exactly 5 years ago, these concepts were floating around, and I think you probably know how I feel about pies, although we'll get to that soon. A recurring theme with this is that recipes could grant different buffs to players to actually give them a purpose, although that's exactly what the new mixing table does with teas, so that theory may be tested. If you're in the custom map making scene, you'll appreciate this one. A custom monument naming prefab. Basically, a way to actually give custom monuments a name, a little sharp on the in-game map. I am, so hopefully this does get added soon. Bring back head turning when alt looking. Yes, please. Not only would this make cinematics more realistic, but it also looks funny as hell. When console? The ultimate question. The answer is, I don't know. Probably the less said about this, the better at the moment. Apart from that every time someone asks, Helk gets diarrhea. No, honestly, I don't know. Make searchlights electric. This would make sense, bring them in line with other devices, but perhaps also add the ability to turn them on and off remotely, rotate them, or even allow them to track players. Which is probably why it hasn't been done yet. Now this is interesting. Scientist patrol boats, because the water is just too safe, and really, you're not supposed to be leaving the island or trying to do your bit for the environment by recycling junk piles, are you? Another one for custom map making, radiation spheres of various intensities for custom maps. Yes, please. The Rust Plus app has been very well received. However, one feature that was requested and is now planned is to be able to log into your Steam account on any phone and see your linked devices, rather than them being tied to a particular install of the app. Also, being able to see the upkeep status of your tool cupboards would be a big plus, and this is also planned. Of course, just like the real thing, Rust never sleeps, and it has changed dramatically in the last couple of years, which means that the trailer on Steam, although good, is now more of a time capsule. Again, this may be something that's waiting for HDRP to be merged before making. Let's hope they just don't take too long about it. And lastly in planned, making bushes harvestable for berries, which I'd imagine will disappear from this list soon if the housekeeping is on point, because in just the last couple of days these have found their way onto staging. And make sure you check out my update vid this week for a full rundown. On to researching now. That strange limbo land between planned and rejected, and ocean wildlife is at the top. It does make you wonder why you never see fish, despite being able to catch them in traps. If you ask me, fishing is something that every survival game should have, regardless of how much of a sitting duck it makes you, and sharks would make the sea so much more exciting. Make some islands around the map. Well, okay, we kind of have this, and custom maps can do whatever they like, but more islands and further out would definitely suit the more antisocial players like me. Making fireplaces heat bases. This was the plan, as mentioned, when they were added about 3 years ago. I mean, we have electric heaters now for that purpose, but come on, lads. A working train that goes around the map with rad towns that are linked by a rail network connected to the tracks that are attached to them sounds great on paper, and has been here for a while, but I'd imagine making that work on a procedural map and getting it to fit in with the road system and everything else would be enough to give even the bravest developer an aneurysm. Still, props to them for researching it. Lighthouses emitting light at night? Duh. Just make them nuclear. Problem solved. A rework to the stand-up system is next, and what this means is making your chance of getting back up after being downed higher, if your water and food bars are fuller, for instance, instead of being random. Teammate indicators on the compass. Personally, I'm in favour of just relying on your senses to find your way around and only knowing what you can see or have seen, but I guess if we're going down the route of knowing so much extra positional info, then this makes sense. Torch will give you comfort, warm you and give you comfort. I ran this one through Google Translate and I think I agree. Not as much as a campfire, of course, but it should definitely make your cheeks toasty. Fishing, Yes, just give it to us. Let us have competitions, catch rare items, or just dangle our rods in the water. I mean, the model is spawnable, so... A smart counter is another Rust Plus app request that would let you check your energy production remotely. Google Stadia is still here in the researching pile. It hasn't gone anywhere, but nothing else has been said about it, so who knows? Turret cameras being used for CCTV. I mean, yeah, there's one on top right there. There it is. Let us link these up to our desks and control them remotely, maybe. And network scale to clients. Another one that's been here for a while, and what it means in layman's terms is allowing Oxide or UMod plugins to spawn prefabs with different sizes. Lastly, the rejected section, the place where concepts come to die. And there's one on here that particularly saddens me, but I'm still grinning and bearing my way through it for you. No, you can't have lighter nights, but of course you have night vision goggles now. Projectile invalid issue, but worth reading the comments on this one. Rejected because the team are constantly changing and improving the underlying issue, so not quite what it appears. Halving the cost of half walls. No, sorry. But while I can see the logic of this one, I can also see the implications for base building and raiding. And, okay. I think just a moment's silence for this one's appropriate.
Says Pi.
Half floors were almost added with the latest round of building parts, but were then pulled at the last moment for reasons. Chromebook. And remove macro, no recoil, although we did have certain mice banned, so there. Of course, underneath this, you can see all the suggestions that have been added so far, and to think of everything that's new just this year, I think they've done all right. But what do you think of what's currently on the map? Is there anything you disagree with? What isn't here that you think should be? And of course, when Contho? Leave me your thoughts down below. Join me on Twitch to see me stream stuff. Follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Discord, and my Steam group to stay up to date with my adventures. And if you'd like to support the channel, then Patreon is a good option. Plus, you can get your name in the credits like these smashing chaps here. I shall catch you all soon, but in the meantime, keep calm and stay rusty. Cheerio.
All right, cheerio to you, Mr. Brian. A little bit of a little bit of a longer video, but jam-packed with information. So I'm glad we were able to get that through. And again, that URL that he mentioned at the beginning is rust.nolt.io. What is nolt.io? Is that like a service? Oh, it is. It's like a Trello board. Like yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, because yeah, cool. I know they have like their own Rust dot. Yeah. For instance, rust.facepunch.com. But right. Yes, they use this one for their board.
Cool. Yeah.
And so, you can go and make suggestions in there if there's something you think they should be doing.
Yeah, like Chromebook support, not. Like that one guy recommended.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, play on a computer that's got 32 gigabytes of eMMC memory. And two gigabytes of RAM. And
it's running on Linux, pretty much.
And it's running on Linux. Great suggestion, folks. Keep it up.
Yeah, we got
that. And this is why you don't let Reddit control the direction of your game.
You told that to H1Z1 a little bit too late. I mean, go on.
I mean, I tried to make the point. I got crucified for it. So so that is Rust.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about PUBG. Okay. They released their 8.2 patch. First of all, in here, they have a number of new weapons, the MG3. And this is pretty much a light machine gun. And it has two different fire rates. It has a bipod that you can use, tracer rounds. And so it spawns in care packages on all maps in normal matches only. So... also, they have a new throwable, the decoy grenade, and this disorients your enemies and covers your movements with the new decoy grenade. Available as world loot in Sandhawk, the decoy grenade will make firing sounds in about 10 seconds for about 10 seconds after thrown, and that gives you a few moments to move away or to do whatever you're going to do. So just more of a trick. Then they've gone through and they've remodeled and retextured some of the weapons, the M416, the SKS, and the Kar-98K. These are some of their earliest guns. I mean, these were, at least I know most of these were released, I think, on release. These are weapons that when we were playing it right early on, these were some of the only weapons available. Yeah. So they've gone through and updated those. Also, the care package. They've updated some of the things that are going in those. C4 has been added to the care package on all maps except for Kerrigan. The MG3 has been added to care packages on all maps, but they're not available in ranked mode. The LMG has been adjusted, so that's the light machine gun. Vehicle damage multipliers have been added to the LMGs. So like the MG3 is one multiplied by 1.25, the DP28, 1.15%, and then the M249 by 1.10. Camera shake when firing the LMGs while prone has been reduced, but there's no change has been made to the weapon's recoil. They make a note here, players may feel the weapon is more stable due to the reduced camera shake, but it's not actually affecting the weapon recoil on there. Four docks have been added to a Wrangle. Also some quality of life improvements. The throwables wheel has been updated to better facilitate multiple recent additions to the throwable arsenal. So the wheel now has six slots and allows access to all throwables. So the four slots are permanent locations for like the frag grenade, Molotov, the smoke grenade, and the stun grenade. And then there's two dynamic slots that hold either the sticky bomb or C4. And one on the left can hold either a decoy grenade or a spike trap. I have added the ability to hide your helmet. So you can have a helmet hide function now. Also for performance, they've done a number of things to kind of reduce the stuttering and hitching in the game by improving the font loading process, optimized the process for loading characters' data to reduce instances of stuttering, hitching, and ensure a more stable frame rate. And then the item table is now preloaded on the back end, client back end, which results in items loading quicker. And what that is you have pretty much, like you would think, like an Excel spreadsheet, a database of all the items. Those were, I think, loading on demand. Now, you know, since there aren't really that many items, you know, they're loading that in the beginning, so it doesn't have to do that lookup before it gets to that point.
You've probably seen this in game before where you run into a house, right? Maybe at the start of a game and there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. And then as you're running through the house, the items pop up.
It starts to populate. Yes.
That was really
bad in H1Z1. It happened in PUBG to where you're like, oh, I'm going to wait for stuff to start spawning in here.
Yeah. So you may have experienced some of those issues when that's not done properly in games, and that's how it manifests itself. So that is PUBG. Judd says, I can't believe the game's still being worked on. Well, I mean, we'll do current players here in a little bit, but there's still almost 500,000 people playing it a day.
They're one of the highest.
I mean, it may not be... And let's be clear, even in the U.S., it's still pulling 40, 50, 60,000 people, which is still puts it well within the top 10 games being played on Steam at any given point. So... It ain't my cup of tea, Brian. Let's talk about our friends over at the dinosaur game Ark. A couple of really, really quick updates here. 312.72, they fixed multiple mesh exploits. That's been a 5-year problem of theirs. And then 312.74, they fixed an invulnerability exploit with mechs. And then unofficial servers can now disable family sharing by disabling the following config in the game users settings INI file. So you will
now,
you
can I say why that matters?
So people can't cheat, and I'll plan this. You can cheat with that, can't you?
Yeah. It wasn't about being able to play, but there was issues that allowed people to cheat when they were using family sharing because of some restrictions that it didn't do. So that's why on a private server or an official server, you would disable that, because for some reason the family sharing allows people to do things that they normally wouldn't do. And I read at the time, long time ago when they first announced it, but it, you know, this bug, but that I do remember that for some reason in family sharing, it allowed you to do things that you couldn't do on a normal Steam account.
And that is all we've got from Ark. Black Wake, Brian, is on sale. This is a really fun game. Unfortunately, not that many people play, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
On Steam. Yeah. It's
99 cents. So, I mean, you can't, I would recommend it. It's 90% off. It's usually $10. I had one of my nephews download it today because I was like, it's a fun game. He's like, I'd like a pirate game. I said, for a pirate game, this is probably one of the best. I mean, if you're not going to play Sea of Thieves. This is
definitely the best. No, definitely the best.
But for PC, it's definitely, you know, it's I would say the best that you can play.
Brian, if this 99 cents is a problem, go into your car, put the seats all the way back, and I'm sure you'll find 99 cents either under your seat or the passenger seat. So Yeah. I mean, it's not, I don't think anybody needs to be convinced that any game for 99 cents that's playable, which this game is more than playable.
And we played this is one of the last game of the weeks that we played. We played it a couple times ago and we had a blast.
It was
a lot of fun. Oh yeah. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's got enough humor in it to where, you know, you're laughing, people are trolling each other. It's just one of those games where you play for a while. There's no sense of loss. Like as far as, it's unlike Atlas and games like that. You don't feel like you just threw 3 days of your life away when your ship sinks. So it's definitely a lot of fun. So for 99 cents, I'd recommend go pick up a copy if you don't have it. And then from here, we'll definitely play it, you know, on a Friday or Saturday night again.
Pirate Nick says, buy the game.
Buy the game.
Damn straight. Yeah. Pirate Nick, that was I got tagged. People started joining our ships because I was just yelling into the microphone the entire time.
No, it was a blast.
There may or may not have been alcohol involved. All right, 7 days to die, Brian. We are inching hopefully ever closer to Alpha 19. Alpha 19 Alpha. So where it goes from experimental to the actual alpha build. What do we have on the agenda for today?
So, the thing that they add, it's not a ton. I mean, for their things, they've got to be getting close to the end because they usually, when they do a log, it's pages long. So they added high quality water depth transparency and improved edge transparency, edge foam, waves, and undulation. And that's all related to ocean and water. And it just makes it look more realistic. So they must have gone through and probably redid their whole, or implemented someone else's water system that has all this. The change that they did is they improved the low quality water transparency, waves, and smoothness. So probably, as I said, they probably implemented another solution for water or somehow fixed, put in a lot of time and fixed their existing one. As far as fixes, container buttons on vehicles in different order than loot containers or the backpack. So they fixed that. Spear no longer flies slowly. Low quality water was drawn too high in the world, and that would be usually have a water table like across everywhere. You know, water is generally at this height. For some reason, the low quality water was higher than the regular water. So I would assume if someone was running on low settings and another person was on high settings, they would see that they were in different points of the water, which caused weird.
Or you would be in the water and not physically see the graphic that was there. If you're right, if you're on low or high setting, you may have been in water, but not be in water physically on your screen.
Yeah, and maybe below or somewhere else.
That's a really weird issue to fix.
They fixed an issue where burnt wood block 4 was unpaintable. Now it's paintable again. Iron and steel knuckle reach reinstated. Running, reloading, or changing weapons would not zoom back in while holding the aim button. Aiming while running would briefly try to aim. Missing sign back face on street barricade. They put resource metal pipe back into the salvage harvest of cars and other vehicles. NRE on entity unload entity projectile. What's non? Let's see, NRE. Do you know the definition of that? Non-recurring engineering? New, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's... It's doing that. Spears that hit a block and the player at the same time can't be picked up. And then spears visual glitch between players. So those are all the fixes for B178. And as you know, you're reading through these before, this one is very short. And so I think that they've got to be close to putting out their Alpha 19.
Yeah, which we'll talk about. The numbers are already great, and I would imagine that adding Alpha 19 becoming non-experimental Alpha 19 would be another big boost for them that would be really cool. All right, let's real quickly wrap up the show here with Dead by Daylight, a quick patch on here, 4.12. It's a mid-chapter update. The big balance thing they did for the Hillbilly was they decreased the base heat dissipation rate. And the heat dissipation rate he runs around with a chainsaw. So the heat, that means you can't leave it revved all the time. So they've changed the dissipation rate from -5 charges per second to -3.5 charges a second. So they've gone ahead and changed that.
So it's slowing it down a little bit. him.
Exactly, which means it is, which means
he'll be able to use it less.
Slowing down the dissipation, which means it will take, there will be a longer cooldown because the dissipation is lower.
It's nerfing him a little bit.
Exactly. It's confusing because you're making it lower, but it's actually making it better for you. Yeah, nevertheless. Yeah. It will heat off, it will cool down slower, which means a slower time or longer time
before rather. You can actually use it again.
Yes, not to be confused at all. A couple of bug fixes on there. Fixed an issue where the hillbilly's chainsaw charge would not be fully reset properly after being stunned, leading to the hillbilly having the ability to use the chainsaw too quickly after a stun. Fixed an issue where the hillbilly would sometimes lunge at extremely high speeds after being stunned. I'm sure that was fantastic. Fixed an issue where the nurse could sometimes blink inside halls and get stuck. That's a shame for her.
Instead of hills, yeah.
Yes, excuse me, hills, walls inside of hills and get stuck. Fixed an issue causing killers to be stuck mid-animation after falling from a significant height. And then reduced the occurrence of sync error code 111 on the tally screen. So that is all of the updates here for Dead by Daylight 4.1.2. And Brian, I believe that takes us to the end of the road here on news. A little bit of a light news week time. On the program.
Yeah, and I think that people will find, if you go look out at the gaming news right now, you'll see that there's a lot less things being released at this point in time right now, and a lot less news happening at the moment for some reason. So
now there's a lot less news happening, but there's still a lot of people playing various video games, Brian. And of course, we'll bring that to you right now, starting with DayZ, currently playing this 11,557, the 24-hour peak, 18,670, with a 7-day peak of 20,561. Taking a look over at ARK, Survival Evolved, 38,026 individuals currently playing that, the 24-hour peak, 58,885, with a 7-day peak of 66,782. After a global wipe, Rust is stronger than ever. 52,946 people currently playing that. The 24-hour peak, 72,238. I mean, these numbers are incredible. 7-day peak, 89,220. Just phenomenal numbers from Rust, and they are just killing the development cycle on that. So good on them. Let's take a look at Conan Exiles real quick. Currently playing 6,657. The 24-hour peak, 8,927. With a 7-day peak, 10,920. And finally, wrapping us up here, 7 Days to Die. Playing the Alpha 19 Experimental, 16,148. The 24-hour peak, 20,484. And a 7-day peak, finally, wrapping us up, 26,997. And that is current players, Brian. That brings us up to date on all of the people that are playing various video games. By the way, those Rust numbers are insane.
Yep. And that's the thing, they've always done a really good job. Yep.
And there's 52,000 people playing.
Yep. They've done a really good job of maintaining their player base and keeping them entertained. You can see with the roadmap, they're constantly adding things, but they don't add too many crazy things to break the whole system. So I think that they do it about right. They put in one, two things at a time, let it sit for a bit, kind of tune those things, and then they'll move on to the next thing. But it's enough to keep people interested, but you don't break the whole game like we would run into with PUBG and with H1Z1, to where the game became practically unplayable at a certain point because of crazy changes they've made.
Yeah.
So they've always managed to do that. All right. Yes, are we ready for a tip of the week?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, usually I either give a general gaming tip or one for a specific game. And since we're looking forward to Alpha 19, I figure I'd do it on 7 Days to Die. So this is Tip of the Week. All right, so when building a base in 7 Days to Die, one thing that you want to do is you want to create choke points. And this is something that as you go through the different cycles, the 7-day cycles of the game, they get more and more difficult, the more and more zombies, and you have to come up with various strategies to be able to handle those zombies so they don't just destroy your base by the end of the night. So what you can do is use choke points and then redirect the flow of those zombies. One thing that you'll use a lot are the spikes. Those spikes will cause damage to the hordes as they attempt to breach your walls and to reach your walls. And so using those to just make one thing you can do is create a trench, fill them with those. The zombies will kind of fall into that. They'll sometimes kind of walk along the edge of it, trying to get to a door, but they'll take on damage and it will take care of most of them throughout the regular nights. And then what you can do is go and repair those in the morning so that they're back to 100%. And you can do those with, you know, eventually as you get to a high enough level, you know, get to the metal version of those. Also, you can do, you can create paths by, and then one thing that's nice is to line the landmines, those pit traps and everything along those paths. But if you want to have a basic defense, what you need to do is you have a checkpoint that when being overrun, you can have the zombies go through a weak point. So you have a weak point in the wall. Maybe something is made with a weaker style wood block. And then once enough zombies come and they get through your general defenses that you have, they will go to that weak point. They'll start funneling through there. So you can line it up with landmines and everything else, things that will give them damage throughout the whole process. And you can really control how they go. Once it creates this opening, you'll be surprised. Almost all the zombies will go towards that. One thing that we have done in the past with our bases is we will create some sort of a big ramp. And then we will remove blocks from the middle of it's kind of like, in a way, a
drawbridge.
It's like a bridge. Yeah, it's like a bridge that you remove some blocks from. They no longer view that as a viable route for getting through that point. And so they'll go around to your weak spot. So you can have a safe spot that you go through. When the night's coming, you remove those blocks. It's no longer viable for the zombies. And then they'll go through your alternate methods of, you know, whatever traps and routes that you've created. So we've used that. That really helps with being able to handle more and more zombies, especially if you have a lot of players, because the number of zombies are based on the number of players online. And that's worked really well for us. So that is tip of the week.
All right. Thank you. There we are. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Brian. I appreciate that. Do we have a giveaway winner?
All right. So let's go ahead and roll for this. Yeah, we'll do another one. What in the world? Okay. Big Woody Sauce. Congratulations, Big Woody Sauce. You have won, and I will send you a link inside of Discord so you can redeem your game. And congratulations on winning Phantom Doctrine. And let us know if you enjoy it. Let us know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Ross says, I never win anything. Well, this is your big day. Life is turning around.
That's not true. Now you're a winner. Congratulations.
Yep. All right. Is there anything else we need to cover before we head on out of here?
No, sir. I think we're all set.
All right. Well, if you want to find me, you can find me at Brian Aldridge on Parler. You can go to my website, biteoftech.com. Also, you can go to our website for the podcast, infectionpodcast.com. You see on the right-hand side there where it says join our server on Discord. If you do that, you can come hang out, chat with everybody. Also, submit news in the news channel. And if you're going to be playing any games, it's a great place to do it. It's a free app. We have our Steam group if you want to get a notification before the live show and have an opportunity to participate in, for instance, that game giveaway that you just saw. Also, you can watch our video forms of the podcast, which most of them we do live on those, Twitch, BitChute, YouTube, and DLive. Also, we have our pre and post shows are recorded and posted separately by Judd, and he has that on the podcast Infection Podcast Extras channel, and there's a link to that right below the BitChute link on the right-hand side of our website. If you want to listen to the audio-only forms after the fact, you can do that through any kind of podcast app, and we have desktop apps as well, and those are the lower right-hand side. If you want to follow along, just make sure you jump on the show notes for that particular episode. This will be episode 291, and if you go on there, there's links and videos and everything that we've referred to throughout this episode. They're all available on there for you to check out. Also, if you want to support us, you can do that through support channel up top. It's in the menu. You can go to amazon.infectionpodcast.com, humble.infectionpodcast.com. And if you want to, while we're on Twitch, you can go to, what is it? Prime Gaming? Is it what they call it?
It's Prime. It's gaming.amazon.com.
Prime Gaming. So if you want to give us your Prime Gaming sub, you can do that as well. We appreciate that. And that pays for our packs.
Yeah, I want to thank a couple of individuals before we get out of here this evening, Brian. I want to thank Judd and Z Jordans for hitting us up with various bits throughout the program. We appreciate that.
I want to thank our friend Unicorn Joe, Phantom, and Big Woody Sauce for all hitting us up with various types of subs or resubs here during the program. It is greatly appreciated, guys, and we're very, very much looking forward to getting back to the show scene, the live show scene, PAX or some sort of event like that coming up here, hopefully in the next couple of months leading into the new year. So we greatly appreciate that. All right, Brian. Well, thank you very much. As always, we'll see you next Tuesday.
Sounds good. I'll see you soon.
All right. Well, I've got to stall here for another 8 seconds so we make it to the 2 hour mark. So I'll tell you that you can check out my IT blog, dudeinit.com. And now the show's 2 hours, so nobody can complain. You can follow me on Twitter at Nicholas M. Craig. You can also follow me on Parler at Nicholas M. Craig as well. If you missed any portion of the show, images, links, websites, videos, show notes, all that stuff, it's on our website, infectionpodcast.com. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.